Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. On this week's episode, we speak with Melaine Rodkamp from the newly rebranded Destination Duchess. Yes, Duchess Tourism Inc. is now Destination Duchess, and Melaine and I get into what this means for the community. After that, we speak with musician Michael D'Agostino. We speak about his band Phenomenon, his solo music, and his love for the paranormal. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, Foam and Wash Car Wash, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I got a great episode for you guys today. First of all, you might be wondering, why the heck are they standing? It's not like we're in a completely different new location. We're still in the Blue Dungeon. What's going on here? Well, funny enough, back when I was at the radio station, Lane and I had this tradition of always standing for our interviews because we just get animated, and it's fun. It keeps it loose, keeps it going. So with us, as you can tell, we have the return of the Queen of Dutchess County herself, Melaine Rodkamp, but slightly new titles, and we'll get into that slightly. But no, really always happy to have her. A lot of stuff that's going to be happening here in Dutchess County, and can't wait to get into it. So Melaine, welcome back.
It's so great to be here and standing with you. This is our vibe. This is the kind of vibe that we have because we are animated. We like to move and talk and shake and wiggle and, you know, telling people do that.
Especially I'm always like moving under the table during the interviews. Like I'm fidgeting with my hands or shaking my legs, but you can't see it typically.
Well, it's better for your voice and your projection. Your diaphragm is like, you know, not crunched up when you're sitting down. So it's just good vocally.
Yes.
As if that matters. I mean, we like to pretend that it matters, but it matters for some people. I don't know that we're that quite level, but
no, like we're pretty good. Like we can project, we can do all that stuff. We don't have to worry about this. I can see the waveforms on the screen right now. We have no problem currently.
We're doing all right.
So we're doing all right. But want to make notice of the poster over here. We have this lovely poster. Connor in editing, please zoom in. But here it says, Destination Duchess, heart of the Hudson Valley. It's beautiful here. You can see the bridges. Is that supposed to be Bannerman? Right?
It is. We've taken beautiful. A little bit of artistic license here. You know, it's art. It's okay.
It's still art, and it's fantastic, and it's really beautiful. And the beautiful new logo down there as well. Destination Duchess. We're not going by Dutchess Tourism Inc. anymore. Just making sure, like, this isn't some, like, you're on the run kind of thing, right? Not witness protection program,
no,
right?
No. There's a lot of reasons to rebrand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just helping us move forward, we've been our own independent 501c6 for 10 years now. We started in 1984 as a part of the county's economic development arm. And then we became independent in 2015. And so this is like looking into the future. This is like the next 10 years and beyond and continuing to grow. And our destination has changed a lot in the last 10 years, too. So how do we reflect that? How do we better deal with media? Social media is a lot different than it used to be. Websites, I mean, 10 years ago, we weren't really doing the things that we're doing now. There's no streaming TV. There's none of those kind of things. So
it was very early.
Right. So we really needed to bring the branding, you know, up to date and beyond. And then also, you know, we would still get calls from people who thought we were a travel agency when you have the word tourism in your name and that we could book them a trip to Europe or wherever. And we're all about Dutchess County here. We are all about Destination Duchess. So we made sure that our name reflected that. If you want to know what there is to see and do in our county, we can help you.
People would ask to go to Europe for a place called Dutchess Tourism.
Well, yes, because they thought we were a travel agency and we could book them.
So I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess when I hear Dutchess Tourism, I think Dutchess still, but maybe I'm like too ingrained.
Right.
Like maybe
more
I'm too
people
used
than
to
you
this.
Would think.
Yeah.
You know, every time, like when I started out in the office and was answering the phones regularly and everybody who's come after me, it still happens. I mean, that's not the main reason we did it, but it's hopefully will dispel some of those myths about who we are and what we do.
Absolutely. And of course, Dutchess County is a destination. It is the destination. There's a heck of a lot going on, of course. And, you know, the spring is such a lovely time because a number of things are finally opening it back up again. Yeah. Things are in bloom. You know, it's a really, really nice time of year. So there's a lot of things going on. And the week that this is airing, this is a coincidence. This has just worked out really perfectly. But there, it's the National Travel Week, you said, right?
Yeah, National Travel and Tourism Week.
And also, if you don't mind, I'll pick it up and I'll pass it off to you. The Destination Dutchess Official Inspiration Guide. Mind you, also last year I was on the cover. Very, very small. I was like a centimeter, but still.
Well, you're on the inside cover now.
Am I?
Oh,
wait, where?
Same picture.
Same picture?
If you open it up.
Oh, my God.
There we are. See that? Down there on the boat.
This blue little dot. You may not be able to see it, but that is me. I'm performing on the sloop Clearwater. Yes.
See? We had such a good time, but we're excited. We produce the travel guide annually. There are 75,000 copies printed, distributed for free. We have 20 racks all over the county, so pick one up there or come to our office. We're at 3 Neptune Road in Poughkeepsie, kind of behind the where Red Lobster was.
Yep.
But that's our building, and you can pick up a copy. You could talk to us and pick up any other brochures there. Get some expert planning for what to do with your summer and your spring, and if you got family visiting, and if you don't have family visiting, invite them to visit because we want them to come here and have a great time, enjoy where you live.
Or if you're not a fan of your family, go by yourself and enjoy it and escape from your family. Perfect. But when it comes to this travel guide, of course, this is the perfect time coming out. You know, spring, everything opening up. We're getting out of winter. Everybody's washing their cars and everything is like getting clean again. Everything's bright and alive. So when it comes to this inspiration guide, what can people find within it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. There's a list of annual events. So it's not all the events. All the events are on the calendar on the website.
That would be difficult to have
more,
it all.
It would be because there are hundreds and hundreds, and they're all fantastic. But these are some of the big key events you might plan a trip around. So you want to put them on your calendar. We also have a great feature from our certified tourism ambassadors asking for their expert insider opinions. We have a really great food section. Some of our favorite must eat things all around the county. There's a checklist. You can just go check them all off. See what ones. See if any of your favorites are already on there. And if they're not, go try some new ones. So that's my favorite feature.
Honestly, you had me at food. You had me at food. I'm like, I'm starting to drift off there. But that's good. That's very, very good.
Great stuff for families, things to outline. We know we get a lot of parents and college kids visiting us, whether they're looking at our colleges or they've already decided to come. Finding things to do around the area while you're visiting. Obviously, you're going to spend time on campus, but then get off campus because there's a lot of fun things to do. And even if you live here, a lot of people don't know that you can go walk around the Vassar campus. It is celebrating its 100th year as an arboretum. It was designed by Olmsted, the same person that did Central Park.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of beautiful paths and trails and things. You could just walk and enjoy the campus. And on Thursday nights, they do a late night at the Francis Lehman Loeb Art Center. Free, beautiful, incredible art from antiquities to the present. They have a great collection of Hudson River School paintings. Go have dinner at the Salt Line or Savona's or somewhere there in that district and then enjoy the campus. And, you know, Powerhouse Theater is coming up this summer. That'll be on campus.
I'm looking forward to that.
You don't want to miss that. And so even Marist, you know, go watch the boats and the crew races or, you know, enjoy the Christmas tree in the wintertime.
Yep.
And they have New York Stage and Film there doing their season of stage and productions at Marist. So
we're hoping to have them back on a little bit later, too.
So, you know, it's for residents, too. You don't have to be a student to go to our campuses, the CIA. Of course, everyone is invited. Go dine at the restaurants. Do a food enthusiast class. Do their taste experience tour. Learn how to taste like a chef. There are all kinds of things that people who live here can do at our college campuses. And we haven't even talked about Bard and the Fisher Center.
It's true.
And Summerscape and the Bard Music Festival. And they have a wonderful art museum there with the Hessel and Blythe Gardens. And, you know, it just goes on and on. So take advantage.
And it's nice that majority of these colleges are, like, right on the river too. So it's so nice. You get the views and, you know, we're just about to get into graduation season.
Yes.
So a lot of families are going to be coming in. So they're going to need to know where exactly they got to eat, where are they going to stay, things along those lines. And it fills up. You know, we're only 5 minutes from Marist.
Right.
That intersection, if you're trying to do anything graduation weekend, forget it. No, that's rough. But going back to Marist, I love going down to the boat docks there just to chill, and just sometimes I'll bring a book, I'll bring my laptop.
Then, of course, Quiet Cove. Yes. That's a favorite, too. Mm-hmm. Love going down there. A buddy of mine used to work for the park system, so I would bother him there. Now I still just go on my own, but it's lovely. And
the pickleball courts there are beautiful at Quiet Cove. Don't forget about those.
The parking lots are always filled right by the pickleball courts. It's amazing how much that is just taken over the area. Not just the area, but the nation as a whole. Like, pickleball's become huge.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of that, I don't know if you've been to the Hudson Valley Pickleball, the new place
there. I haven't. I've heard
If you're
good
local,
things.
You know, it's where the Christmas tree shop was. Phenomenal. The golf, the indoor golf they have there.
Oh, they got golf, too.
Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, shoot.
You
okay.
have never seen
no,
you know,
I
virtual
haven't been
golf
in there.
Like this. So you have to go check it out. But so much to see and do around. You know, pick up a picnic at Hudson Heritage, one of the shops there. Take it to Quiet Cove or someplace else beautiful and enjoy those views of the water. Don't take them for granted.
No, trust me, I never do. One of the most beautiful things to me is I'd be looking south down the river from Quiet Cove or Marist and be just looking at the double bridges. Just the double bridges alone is like such an iconic look. Now, of course, the mountains are beautiful, the valleys are beautiful, but there's something extra special about those two bridges. It's like, where are you going to get something like that?
And I think about the history of them. You know, the walkway over the Hudson was the Poughkeepsie Railroad Bridge, built in the late 1800s. And then you have the Mid-Hudson Bridge. You know, that's a 20th century bridge. And so as we look at that history and see how things have evolved, how transportation has evolved, one of the things that we did that was so great is at our 10th anniversary celebration, we did a trends conference, but we had Will Tatum, who's our county historian. He came and did a type 5 on tourism in Dutchess County. It was great. It was so great. I wish
how
I
fast
it.
Was he going?
No. Well, you know, he's writing. He's like, this could be an hour-long presentation.
Yeah.
Because it is really interesting when you think about the Half Moon coming up the Hudson River and, you know, discovering isn't the right word because we know there were people here first. But, you know, even people that would come up on the river on the steamboat, people that would come on stagecoaches and stay at our taverns and boarding houses on the four corners through our many villages. You think about the train. You think about the Vanderbilts.
Yeah.
You know, and railroads coming up the Hudson. You think about automobiles. He showed a really cool advertisement for the Nelson House, which was a hotel in Poughkeepsie, a historic hotel. It's not there anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. But their biggest selling point was they had a parking garage for your brand new automobile. So it was really fun and really interesting. And if you haven't had Will on, you need to have Will on.
I would love to have
him on. He's so funny and he's so smart and really has great stories to share. So we'll get you connected.
Yeah, please do. I've heard about him so much, but I've yet to meet him.
Oh, we got to make that happen.
I know. I would love to make that happen.
Good.
A lot of good history and everything. I know you've talked highly of him. Joey Cavazzini's talked highly of him, especially, you know, being a historian in his own right, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those two, I'm sure, like going back and forth, that would be an interesting room to be in, a fly on the wall to watch all the history happen between those two.
And there's really cool history that happened here, and we're going to be celebrating, you know, as we continue into next year in 2026 and the 250th of the Declaration of Independence. You know, we're starting now. We started last year with our Commander in Tears program,
which was so much fun.
Still going. You can still go find Tiny George at taverns, tasting rooms, and restaurants.
I have the coasters still that you gave me.
So go find where Tiny George is and check him out. And then also we've got an event that Will and I are working on together, and my team and his team and the folks at the FDR Library. We're doing RevCon 2025.
Beautiful.
We did it last year, too. We had living history, Revolutionary War reenactors on the lawn at the FDR Library. We had a local history museum inside. We'll bring our giant cutout of George Washington that he gives me a hard time about, because while he's 6 foot, our cutout, and barely fits in our cars, he is not life size, because George was a very tall man.
How tall was he?
He's taller than 6 foot.
Was he?
I think he was like 6'4" or something.
That's impressive, especially for that time.
I know. He was a tall guy. So he is not quite life size, but he is still very tall. So come see us at RevCon. That's on Flag Day, June 14th at the FDR Library. It's also New York State Path Through History Weekend. Mm. So lots of great history events going on. And then we're doing a brand new event, which I'm super excited about. That is June 28th at Fishkill Farms, and it's a revolutionary cider celebration.
Mm.
So we're continuing the theme of bringing our history to the people where they are. And in the spring and summer and fall, here in Dutchess County, it's at our farms and our craft beverage producers. And cider was an important beverage in those colonial times. So we've got a cider historian coming all the time. We've got a cider historian coming. Will's going to do a presentation. We're going to do a tasting of colonial era food that I promise will be delicious and not just like hardtack or something gross. You know?
I'm sure there'd be some good stuff in there. Yeah. Absolutely.
And Jonathan Kruk is a master storyteller. He's going to be there telling our stories from the revolution. We're going to be doing Josh Morgenthau from Fishkill Farms is going to be doing a hayride, wagon ride tour through the orchard talking about cider making. So really cool stuff we've got coming on to celebrate our history. You know, so one of the things that if you like eating and you like history, go to the Travel Hudson Valley website. And in there's a whole roundup of different Revolutionary War themed itineraries and suggestions. Look at the food one, because we have really cool, really old taverns and restaurants. I mean, of course, you know about the Beekman Arms, but there's Old Drovers out in Dover. There's the Old English Pub up in Albany. Mm. There's I think it's 76 down in Rockland. There's just a whole list of them. So if you want to go to Garvin's, and that's from that colonial era, that's in New Paltz. Tons of great restaurants around that still throw up that history vibe because they've just been around so long. And if those floorboards could talk, I would love to hear what they have to say.
I'm sure there'd be some interesting stories about that. But hey, that's why we have like historians like Will and Joey talking about, which we'll have to get on soon. But I think that's beautiful. I want to talk about something you brought up. You said June 14th. That weekend is Father's Day weekend.
Yes.
And then also coming up naturally beforehand, we have Mother's Day weekend. So for those who are trying to do something for their parents, whether they're Hudson Valley locals or they are coming in to visit, what would you say for somebody looking to do something special for mom or special for dad? What would you recommend for these people?
Well, there's tons of great dining options and brunches and things out there. But if you're going to do it, book it now.
Yeah.
Because they're going to fill up. A couple of years for my favorite things, one year we went to Eastern Dutchess and we did things that I hadn't done before. So we went to Dover Stone Church and we did a hike there.
I love it there.
Yes. It was really cool. We'd never been there. We had such a great time exploring. You've got Kelly's Creamery there and mini golf and Kelly's husband's truck right there.
So good.
They have the best Italian ice around. It's so good. But there's things like that you could do. We went to the Wasaic Project, which you'd never been to. It's an art museum gallery in a 7-story converted grain factory elevator. I'm doing such a bad job. They're going to hate me for describing that. But it's really awesome. Yeah. And it's so unique and so different. Go check out the Wasaic Project. And then one year we did the boat ride to Bannerman Castle.
Oh, great.
And so, you know, go to Bannerman. Even if you don't do it now, you don't know what to get your mom, you want to get her a gift, get her, go together to have an experience. They do live performances out there. Hudson Valley Shakespeare Company is going to be there. They've got a Robbie Burns supper coming up there in July. Robbie Burns suppers are normally January when his birthday is. Bannerman not open in January. So they're doing it in July. So do the little 6-month thing, but it's a Scottish style castle. Yeah. They've got the Selkirk Grace there that he wrote. If you don't know who Robbie Burns is, he's most famous for he wrote
Auld Lang Syne.
That's it.
Yep.
Good. So lots of cool things, but think about experiences. Think about things you can do with your mom or your dad. Buy the, get them the 1 or 3 or 90-day pass for the craft beverage tasting. If you like to sample things, there's 14 different sites. You can go to Desai Blue Sake Brewery. Phenomenal experience. They brought a chef in from Japan to make sushi there on the regular. So they're doing lunches there. So you can go have lunch at Desai. You can hang out there. The museum quality exhibition that they've put in there is just fantastic.
Amazing.
You can do mead at the Slate Point Meadery. You can do some of our breweries. You can do some of our distilleries. All the things there. So lots of great opportunities. And we have a list on our website, a whole spotlight on what you can do for Mother's Day. So check it out.
And of course, where should people go on the website? Because you guys have specific guides for specific things and specific times of year on the website.
So now it's destinationduchess.com/spring. Mm-hmm. And then it'll move to /summer. But it's also on the spotlights on the homepage. If you scroll down, you'll see all the spotlights there on highlighting Memorial Day weekend coming up. The FDR Library does a Living History World War II Museum. There's one of my favorite things. The people who are there are so passionate and love talking about that area and that time period, and you can learn all about it from them. So that's coming up. Other ways to celebrate Memorial Day. Lots of cool things coming up. It's my favorite time of year.
No, it's such a great time of year. It's the unofficial official beginning of summer at that point. And it's always a lot of fun. And then actually for Father's Day, just found this out. I'll be performing over at Heritage Park for the Renegades.
So I was like, love it.
Hey, can I get tickets for my dad, for my mom and dad? Like, I'll celebrate together. So that's what we got.
That's a great way to spend those holidays at the ballpark. I mean, it's what great family entertainment.
Well, it saved me having to make plans for Father's Day, but I still have to make plans for Mother's Day now. I'm figuring out what I'm doing, but I'm looking at that as soon as this is done.
Yeah, there's all kinds of great things you can do. Good hands-on activities. The gardens are in bloom. I can't wait. The peonies at Locust Grove are one of my favorite things. It smells amazing. It's so beautiful. The gardens at Vanderbilt, the gardens at Beatrix Ferran Garden there, which is also on the FDR property, the Rose Garden. There's just Innisfree Garden is doing incredible things and programming out there, out in Millbrook.
Yeah.
So check out Innisfree Garden.
I've been to all of them. It's funny, since you mentioned Locust Grove to begin with, my girlfriend, she's only seen it in the winter.
Oh.
So she's, again, Alex, she's up in Rexford, so I get her down here as much as I can. She's seen the gardens there at Vanderbilt. She's seen all those others. But yeah, I've been telling her, it's like, we got to get you back for Locust Grove. I remember going on a number of school trips there. Mm-hmm. I've gone with my parents a number of times for multiple tours. There'll be various events. So I don't know. It still just blows my mind that there are these kind of places, mansions and estates that are here. Speaking of mansions and estates, something that will be coming up in the summer is the Great Estates Weekends.
Yes, the Garden and Landscape Weekends. Those are coming up. There's a weekend at the end of June and there's one at the beginning of August. And I should know those dates, but I don't. But you can put them in the show notes.
We'll put them in post. Connor, put it right across the screen. There we go.
Call it the doobly-doo.
I like that.
I didn't invent that.
No, but that's good. And of course, that includes a good number of all the various estates, mansions, parks.
Special programming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And special tours along with that as well, right?
Yeah. And so one of the things to know too is, yes, a lot of those places have some master gardeners on staff that coordinate it, but the bulk of that work, and at Bannerman too, their flowers are stunning. It's volunteers. So if you like gardening and you want to get your hands dirty, I am sure that any one of them will take your help and support.
Absolutely. And one thing that we talked about last time that I definitely don't want to miss either now is about the accessibility here in Dundas.
Yes. Yeah.
And the amount of the accessibility has just gone up. It's crazy. Since the last time that we talked, even in January, it's funny the number of things that I've seen pop up around the area, or slight changes, slight renovations, new signs, things along those lines. It's really powerful to see what's been going on. Obviously, that's just as somebody who's living here, but somebody who's on the ground floor of a lot of what is happening. Could you tell us about a lot of the initiatives?
Sure. So we did a partnership with an organization called Wheel the World, and they came in and assessed 53 of our different hotels, restaurants, and attractions for accessibility and gave them kind of a roadmap to show them, hey, these are the things you're doing great on. Here are things that you maybe want to look at. Here are some things that we should fix now, you know, if there were any of those kind of things. And so we were also able to have a competitive grant program to give people micro grants to make some of those improvements. But creating that awareness, we're providing the training. We're excited. We're going to celebrate later this month. The folks at Stattsburg State Historic Site have had the majority of their frontline people do the training. So we're going to celebrate that, because you have to celebrate these milestones. It's not enough to just be physically accessible. You want to make sure that people know how to treat the guests in the way that they want to be treated and make them feel welcome and at home. And so that continues to grow. And by creating awareness, as we've continued to do, more people are jumping on the bandwagon, which is really exciting. And people are starting to think outside the box. You know, Pride in the Sky is coming up on May 17th at the walkway over the Hudson. They're going to have the Clear Water there and doing some tours. They're going to do a sale. We're calling it the Queer Water. I think it's super fun. There's going to be dance parties. There's going to be all kinds of things going on. But one of the things that they did is they have an accessible shuttle that's going to be able to take people from the waterfront up to the walkway. And, you know, of course, the elevator itself is accessible and the path from Upper Landing Park. But people are starting to think more about what I need to do to be more accessible to people. And so I appreciate that so much.
That is great. With the shuttle, do you know where the shuttle's running from exactly?
I think those are going from, I don't know exactly where it'll start and end, but from the waterfront up to Parker Avenue.
That's great.
You know, because you can't do the stairs at Washington. You got to go to Parker Avenue.
No,
so,
and
parking, because
tough.
They're doing construction, so there's not a lot of parking right now. So people are parking at the train station, other places. It'll be a really good addition to what they're offering. And of course, the walkway has their tram that's wheelchair accessible. And so that helps people who have mobility challenges. You don't have to use a wheelchair to be on it. You know, some people just can't walk that far or don't want to walk that far. And so that's available. But lots of different people, there's things coming that I can't talk about. But I know. But people really thinking out of the box, how can I make my business more accessible? And we did a resident sentiment study at the end of December. And if you filled it out, thank you. Because we did ask questions about accessibility. And one of the things that we found was that a huge number of people didn't know. They answered, I don't know, about how accessible the county is for people who use wheelchairs, for people who have hearing impairments or vision impairments or, you know, cognitive disabilities. And so we need to continue to try to help get that message out. So I appreciate you helping us with that. Wheel the World has our listings of our Duchess attractions on there that show how accessible and in what ways they're accessible for people so they can decide for themselves, is this good for me? But the county is also working on a Think Accessible program. So we're working with the county executive and her team at Think Differently about that, on ways that different businesses, not just tourism businesses, but also municipalities, can have different kind of certifications showing their level of accessibility so we can continue to grow that as a county.
No, that sounds awesome. And I was just about to say, there's like, that has to be in line with Think Differently.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic.
It's good when we talk to each other.
It is good. It's so much
better. Who knew?
I know. It's so much better when like people are actually in communication with each other instead of going off on various different plans and then things get in the way or things overlap, but not in the best ways.
Right. We work together.
It's funny because actually we just had Councilman Christopher Grant on, and he was talking about the PK 5K and talking about, which, so we're recording this before the PK 5K rain date happens, but it's going to air afterwards.
Oh, when is that? Because I couldn't go before.
It's this Saturday.
Uh-oh.
No, probably another thing, right? I know, same here.
Always.
Same here. I was talking to Chris about it. I was like, I couldn't do it last weekend because of a wedding. Yeah. And then I have plans with my girlfriend. We're traveling this weekend, so we can't do
it's
that.
It's a nice
either.
Route for that race.
It's a fantastic route. Yeah. Absolutely. And beautiful. Think Differently is going to be a part of it. They have a whole thing too.
Yay.
So that's why I'm remembering. It's fresh in my mind.
Good.
No, but that's fantastic. And I'm happy to hear that it's all working out. People are working together on this too. Really build up Duchess. And as we wrap up here on this episode now.
Already?
You know, I know. It goes
by
quickly.
We just started.
But who knows? We might just keep going. Who knows?
That's all right.
But when it comes to this, the spring and the summer coming up, we have all these things that people should be checking out. I know you're a little biased, of course, living here, promoting all of this. But for somebody who isn't used to the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
And we've been lucky with Walsh Wednesday. We're getting a lot of people from a number of places. I'm seeing West Coast. I'm seeing Midwest. I'm seeing things like that. So
come visit.
I know. To the all those people who are watching from various places, again, thank you for watching, of course. What would you say to them?
You know, this is one of the top areas in the world to visit. You know, time and time again, Fedor's, Travel and Leisure, Time Magazine, National Geographic Traveler all highlight the Hudson Valley as one of the best places to visit. And it's easy for residents to take it for granted, but don't, because we have the best food and the best farms. We have the most beautiful outdoors. You know, we talk about the Hudson River School Painters. They're kind of like the first destination marketing organization using beautiful imagery to sell a destination. You know, come see where those paintings were made. Come enjoy our history. Come. Relax, have a wonderful time. If you're from far away, you can fly into New York City and then take the train up. It's a beautiful ride, but we would love to have you here so you too can see why we love living in the heart of the Hudson Valley.
Absolutely. And one thing that I will say, you know, New York isn't known necessarily for beaches per se, not ocean beaches. We do have a bunch of lakes. There's a lot of great lakes, lakes, ponds, parks that people can go to. I was looking at it with some friends trying to find like the right places to go to this summer.
Yeah.
So like, if you want something a little quieter than the typical beach thing, but you still want to enjoy the water, that's a good thing as well.
There's a lot of places, and there's a lot of great waterfalls around, too, throughout the whole Hudson Valley. You know, Minnewaska is great. Lake Taconic is great. There's a ton of places, Catterskill Falls, to go and enjoy and just really immerse yourself. And there's all levels of trails. So, you know, if you're not into climbing Brace Mountain, you can't climb, you can climb Mount Beacon, but you can't do it from the normal entrance that, that people do. You know, there's flat, there's the rail trails that are beautiful and there's no traffic. If you want to ride a bike, ride a bike. You want to just stroll, do that. But there's something here for everyone except an ocean beach and a mountain downhill ski here. Not a big mountain.
Close by. Stay here, go there for a little bit and then come right back.
Everything else we got.
It's funny you also say about the trails and different elevations and skill levels. Doverstone Church, don't they got like the three different trails?
There's
I took kids from a camp that I worked on. We were there for hiking and whatnot. And we had a few kids want to do the hardest trail. I think it was about like six of us and a counselor and just me. And while everybody else hung around and did like the more kid-friendly trails, holy cow, by the time we got up to the top, it was so rewarding.
Yeah.
But I was so afraid I was going to have to carry each one of those kids down.
I always forget that the most beautiful views, you got to work to get them.
You really got to work. Like,
you know, Burger Hill is great.
Burger Hill, yes.
It's steep, but it's short. And, and the rewards are fantastic. So check that out. I love Peach Hill Park for the same reason. If you want the views without the work, go to College Hill Park in Poughkeepsie.
College Hill's nice, too.
You can drive up there.
Or you could also play golf, too.
That's true. You can do all those things.
Yep.
Beekman is a great course for
That's true, too. I love, personally, I love going over to Casperkill. I love their driving range. They're fantastic over there. McCann is great as well. Yeah. Got a lot of, my dad's played golf all over here, so.
And I come from a family of golfers. I am not a good, I'm a great mini golfer. I don't hit it far enough on an actual golf course to need a cart. I just like walk.
No, that's fine. But you got that putt-putt game. Unlock.
Winner.
There we go.
Got it. So many great places.
I just went to a bachelor party, and one of the things we did was mini golf.
That's awesome.
And yo, no, it was so much fun. And no, it was just funny, is like how competitive we all were.
Oh yeah, wow.
We were pretty good at that. We also did driving range too. That one was, we won't talk about
that's
that one
all right.
as much.
You gotta have wagers, friendly wagers.
Yeah.
And, you know, my kids did that. They went to, when they were in high school, they went to DC Sports, but they dressed up in like the knickers and the cap and the vest.
They went like all out,
they
huh?
They had the most fun.
Oh my God. That's fun. For another bachelor party, we did nine holes somewhere, and we all have matching Hawaiian shirts.
See, that's great. Yep.
Actually, I think I have it hanging up over there. Can we see it? No. It's not in view, but I know it's over there.
There are so many ways to have fun, and it's more fun with friends, right? So invite your friends.
Yes. Now, Malayne, all right, this will be the final wrap-up now. Any last little nugget that you want to share for people, whether in Dutchess or outside of Dutchess?
There's a lot going on right now in the travel industry. It's our Destinations International Advocacy Committee that I'm a part of, and you know, with international travel and the ill will that's put out into the world with annexing Greenland and Canada and all the other things.
I'm sure that's making things a lot difficult for you guys
bad.
Right now.
It's really bad. Yeah. You know, land crossings, air crossings from Canada are down like 26% and then some, and it just, you know, international travel took a nosedive. You know, I mean, whether the tariffs work or don't, there's ways to have done it without creating so much ill will among our friends and neighbors. So people in Europe, you know, not wanting to come and canceling trips or choosing to go other places.
Yeah.
You know, that's happening. And that's a trade deficit for us. So,
yeah. Because I know that you've traveled abroad. Wasn't it Germany you were in recently?
And Dawn's there right now with I Love New York, and she's left yesterday.
Okay.
I think. And so, you know, there's no doubt among our partners that Dutchess is a wonderful, welcoming destination that they want to come to, but we can't control what happens at the border and customs. And so some people are worried and so they don't want to deal with the hassle. And so they are choosing not to come. And our job is to continue to maintain those relationships, build those relationships. So when they are ready to come, they're going to think of us first. So that's what we're doing there. And then all kinds of other craziness happening in other parts of the country. And so.
No, I'm sure it's tough. And one thing that I can say about like, at least this area of New York, at least, you know, a lot, or maybe I'm just speaking about this from a place of privilege as a straight white man and everything. It feels like it's not too crazy here specifically, but you're hearing everything around you and you're waiting for it almost feels like a ticking time bomb. When is it going to affect my hometown?
Well, and you look at what's happening to the national parks, and we worry about our friends here. The national parks in Dutchess County are one of our biggest attractions.
Big time.
And so, you know, they're doing the best they can with what they've got. You know, there are some people that took buyouts and things when they offered that, and you know, who can blame them for that? But now they can't hire new people, so the people there have to do double duty, and that's a lot. And you worry about the arts organizations and other folks who had grants from the federal government to do programming that it's been taken away. And so now they can't do that programming. And when you're in tourism and hospitality, your people are everything. Mm-hmm. And creating an environment where people feel valued and welcome and supported is important to their productivity and their job satisfaction, and then the result of what they put out into the world. And when you hurt that goes away. That's really bad.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. And with rising prices, people are tightening their wallets. They're making sure they're having stricter travel budgets. They are driving instead of flying, which for us is not a bad thing because we're primarily a drive destination anyway. Yeah. But they're looking for ways they're going to be spending less on food and beverages. They're still going to come, but they might come for less amount of time.
Yep.
So as we look at what's visitor spending going to look like for us, what are the taxes collected going to look like for us? Because sales tax is the largest revenue generator for the county that do all the programs that we all say we want and need government to provide.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to be concerned about that we're watching and trying to do the best we can to pivot where we can and still drive visitors and find ways to diversify our offerings. So some people are very concerned, like, well, that's not for me, and why do I want that? And you want it because it's going to help you weather economic downturn.
Yeah.
Because people who have those means are still going to travel and spend their money in your destination no matter what. But if you don't have things for them, they're not going to come to you.
Yeah.
So when other areas are hurting, if you have something to balance out, just like if you're balancing your 401k in your portfolio, if you have retirement savings, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
No.
So by diversifying the types of offerings we have, that helps insulate us from some of the tumultuous things that may come down the road. It's a whole interconnected system. And some people don't realize or appreciate the ripple effects that some of these things have for us and how they affect way down the line that you might not even think about when you're thinking about tourism.
Well, as you said, like just with the sales tax and the amount of revenue that comes in simply from tourism, you know, we've talked how many times of how much that brings in a year.
Yeah.
But like the average person doesn't necessarily think of that. They don't see it.
No,
they see it, but they don't realize what it is.
They don't see how it benefits them.
Yeah.
And so that's why knowing that savings, that tax savings, $817 per household, plus not just that, if that all went away and those taxes went away because those visitors went away, then we would all have to pay $2 million a day collectively to support those businesses that rely on all of that visitor spending. So that's every day for 300,000 people.
Yeah.
That's a lot. You can't do it.
And when you think about it, like the majority of main streets in a number of the places around here, like you just go down through like the main strip in Beacon. You go down like Main Street in Fishkill, Red Hook, Rhinebeck. Majority of those places are all local businesses.
Right.
Eastdale Village and Poughkeepsie. Right. Majority of them are all like mom and pop local businesses. Mm-hmm. Or if they are chains, they're Hudson Valley chains.
Yes.
You know, it's not like, obviously you could take a place like the Poughkeepsie Plaza or the Poughkeepsie Galleria where you have like the more bigger national chains. Mm-hmm. But when you go down these main streets, that's all the mom and pop.
Those people
stuff.
That own them, they're your neighbors.
Exactly.
Their kids go to school with your kids.
Exactly. So you got to really think about that. Yeah. Like I know people say it's like shop local. But like when you really think about it, it's like, yeah, you got to remember is like those are your neighbors or your favorite place.
Yeah.
They don't have like millions of dollars from a parent company backing them.
Mm-hmm.
Your sale just helped them pay rent for the month.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so, you know, it's really important that we do support them. We need them because you know what? Amazon isn't sponsoring your little league teams.
No.
They're not supporting your high school musicals.
No.
It's your mom and pops that are doing that.
Yeah.
And we need them.
And honestly, as somebody who's looking into getting office space, like, don't get me wrong, I'm very grateful to be still working out of my parents' house and have a roof over my head, of course.
Yeah.
But like looking for office space, that's huge. And then the people who sponsor these episodes, mm-hmm. they're all local. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you can't get these national companies. Like,
yeah.
you're like Philomena, like yeah. she's born and raised around here. I got Michelle Franks, who was like immediately ready to come on board when we were talking about SDCC and somebody I worked with for years for a music program, Bob, like he's been up and down New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut. Like he's a local guy himself yeah. too with Day Rock, you know, mm-hmm. like, these are all local, and it's a matter of helping each other out yeah. through it.
And it's so. About relationships and building those relationships. And if they didn't love you the way we all love you, then they wouldn't do that either.
No.
But, you know, it makes a difference because, you know, the passion you have comes through, and that's, you can't. And you don't want to fake that. You want that to be real. And so that's what's wonderful. That's why I love talking to you.
I'm still so glad.
And you're the travel guide again.
But Melaine, thank you so much for being here on this episode of Thanks. Welsh Wednesday. I'm Connor.
And I'm Melaine.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
I'm the ad ref, calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors.
Baseball has umps, you idiot.
I don't have an umpire outfit, okay? Sue me. Hey there, I'm the ad ref, calling a timeout on this week's episode to tell you about our sponsors. Now on deck, we got Foam and Wash Car Wash. Hey there, I'm Connor, and this is my car.
My eyes!
Kidding, it's not that bad, but I do really need a car wash though. Did you know that the spring is one of the busiest times for car washes? It's because everybody's washing off all of the winter grime along with the new spring pollen. Introducing the Wash Wednesday Fundraiser. And no, that is not a typo. Walsh Wednesday is partnering up with Foam and Wash Car Wash. With 12 convenient locations within the Hudson Valley, Foam and Wash Car Wash is a local family business born in the 1960s, specializing in fast and convenient services in first-class facilities with friendly and courteous staff. By going to the Walsh Wednesday fundraiser link, which you can find on screen or in the description of this episode, you can purchase the ticket for a ceramic wash or a hot wax that can be redeemed and used at any of their 12 locations. A portion of those proceeds helps to benefit the Walsh Wednesday podcast in supporting local arts and local businesses. The fundraiser goes until Thursday, May 15th. Thanks for the support and happy washing. Next up to the plate, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications. Philomena?
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Women-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday. Now back to you, AdRef.
Thanks, Philomena. That's enough out of me. Play ball. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode lined up for you guys. It's funny because this episode worked out really nicely where the two people I was having on for the episode were actually being recorded on the same day. That doesn't happen very often. No, it's true. It's mostly very different days. So with us today, we have a musician that we were linked by a mutual friend. We'll probably get into that, of course, Tony Cicero. But with us today, from the band Phenomenon and also a solo artist in his own right, we have Michael D'Agostino. Mike, how are you?
Thank you, my friend. Hey, thanks for having me.
Did I say your last name right?
D'Agostino.
D'Agostino. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I got a friend of mine that really emphasizes the
the apostrophe
name.
In there. Yeah, no, D'Agostino. It throws everybody. But yeah, just like the supermarket, you know, D'Agostino's.
There you go. Yeah. D'Agostino. Fantastic. Sorry about that, but thank you very much.
Man.
Dude, I'm so happy to have you here. We were supposed to have you back at the radio station before the great layoff of 2024.
Right.
So this has been a long time coming. I'm excited about it.
Me too. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And of course, shout out to Tony, who got us together in the first place.
Lamar's.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Great people over there.
So good.
So nice. Yeah. And they have a beautiful place. So people should check it out.
I love the patio there. That was my first time there. And it was really nice. It was great. I loved hearing your music.
You were, yeah, likewise, man. You were really good.
Same with you. Yeah. No, I was listening to it. It's like, damn, this guy's got good sound, good resonance. And then you're telling me you got your band on top of it. It's like,
yep.
Oh, yeah, we got to connect. Yeah. We got to do some stuff. Also, I just need to mention and shout out how I said, if anybody got me apple cider, they'd be my best friend.
Yeah, that's right.
And you got me the apple cider right in the middle of the game. And I loved it. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
That went down so good.
Yeah. That, I mean, everything they have there is awesome. And I heard they're putting a beer garden in, yes, which is really cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll be back.
So you're providing a few songs off the album that you guys are working on. Currently untitled as of now, but we have some music from it. You guys are still working on it. Everything sounded great, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm excited about it. Now, one song that really like hit me in a certain spot as somebody who's on a very interesting religious and spiritual journey of my own, and especially like people who have watched and listened to this, they know Catholic school for many years, but then disenfranchised with religion.
Yeah.
Just the name alone got me interested. God-shaped hole.
Yeah.
Could you talk about that?
Yeah. I think, again, like a lot of the stuff that I'm writing about is sort of like a feel, right? And like a feeling towards things. And also the time frame a lot of this was written originally is in this like post-COVID world where I think a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of things where people feel like there's like an awakening, so to speak. And you hear that a lot, those words, right? Like a great awakening where people are starting to maybe see through the facade of the reality that we live day to day and feel like, oh, maybe things are like a little bit more contrived. And maybe, you know, the lives that we lived are a little bit more distracted from maybe things that are like important.
Yeah.
Right. And then maybe, you know, and it's not like a judging thing, but it seems like there's a lot missing from day-to-day lives. They don't serve us. Right. And maybe
not like as much substance.
Not as much substance. And God-shaped hole, while it's not intended to be like religious per se, but it's like trying to look at society and maybe ourselves that we have like a missing piece and that maybe like God and kind of like a hump coming from a more humble place. Where we're not the be-all, end-all of everything. There's something greater that we're sort of like missing that piece. And that's more or less like the theme of that song. But it has, you know, undertones of other things relating to just like, seems like there's in our society like some kind of dark elements that are pushing and pulling us in certain directions. Yeah. And it's sort of just like addressing that in a way. And that's essentially what that's about.
Yeah, I very much got that out of the song. And yeah, you're right. I didn't necessarily get a lot of religious undertones, but like in my own experience, that's how I related it.
Yeah.
You know, how, you know, personally, I felt like, what is it that I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel the way I feel? But then also in that grand scheme of what you're saying, yeah, society as a whole is like very distracted. And definitely in that post-pandemic world, it's like, yeah, why do we do this? A lot of people started questioning a lot of the things that we were doing as a society. I know I was questioning a lot. It's like, you know, a lot of people say it's like, well, we always do this. And it's like, well, just because we always do it, does that mean that we have to keep doing it?
Yeah.
And that could be for just about anything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I thought it was a very interesting song. It was probably the favorite out of the three that you sent me.
Thank you.
Yeah. They're all great, but that one like really hit.
Thanks.
So I think now's the perfect time to segue into it. We have God-Shaped Hole by Phenomenon here.
We'll be right back.
So let's talk about the music, of course. So you do have the solo stuff, and what I was seeing you do the solo thing, we both were very similar in that sense where it was mostly a lot of covers doing the solo thing, but I know you got your own music as well that you try to plug. I try to throw in a few in my sets as well. What's the difference between you as a solo act versus you with your band Phenomenon?
Yeah, great question. So when I do the solo act, like you mentioned, usually a lot of covers, right? That's what people want to hear. And I use a looper, so I'm doing kind of layered music, right, with a rhythm section and solos. And I even have like a little drum pedal, which is cool. And I'm doing all that stuff, but I do work in some originals, right? But that stuff is more like your singer-songwriter type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it has kind of that vibe. And the difference between that and Phenomenon, where Phenomenon's more like straight ahead rock and roll, the stuff I do solo is more like singer-songwriter. So you could put it kind of like Americana, country, even, like in that realm, whereas Phenomenon is more like 90s grunge / classic rock sound.
Nice. Right?
So yeah, kind of keep them somewhat separate. Some stuff I'll play, there's a song Evermore, I'll do that solo acoustic. Yep. It kind of lends itself a little bit to acoustic sound, so I'll sometimes do like a more chilled out version of that song.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, mostly they're kind of like separate entities. But yeah, no, like all the original stuff, like I was saying, it's mostly kind of like separate sound. There's a couple, like the song Evermore of mine, mm-hmm. I kind of cross over because it just works acoustic pretty decently.
Nice.
So I'll play it like a chill version acoustic, and then it's more like rocked up with the band.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
No. And that's the way to be. When you got the full band, you can get a whole different sound out of it when it is just you as a solo artist. But as a solo artist, there's an authenticity and a rawness to it at the same time too.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I'm really more like a guitar player. That's where I started.
Mm-hmm.
I started, you know, I really, ever since I was a little kid, like writing songs, like little songs I would just come up with, and just sort of like playing instruments that my mom had around the house, right? Yeah. And then as I grew, I started playing in bands, and really mostly cover bands until recently started doing the original stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, we're just like, you know, I was really missing hearing like what I consider to be like rock in kind of like the classic sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't really hear that in the mainstream anymore.
It's tough.
And so there were some bands that I really liked in the mid-2000s, like Royal Blood's a really cool band.
Mm.
And there's a couple others out there, but I really wanted to hear that type of sound, and I was influenced by those types of bands, like Stone Temple Pilots and Guns N' Roses, and then all the grunge bands, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, etc. So I wanted to do something in the vein of that style, right? So, like, I missed it, so I was like, why don't we do it? You know, it was like my thought process, and I started writing kind of like riff-based songs, right? And that's kind of how it started to slowly build into Phenomenon today.
That's awesome. Now, I want to talk about the band and talk about the influences there, but something that you said caught my attention. Instruments that your mom had around the house. Was your mom very musical then? It sounds like she was a big inspiration.
Yeah, that she was. My mom played music. My uncle did. My uncle was in a band called Zipper back in like Brooklyn back in the day, his own original band. Yeah. And so I just kind of took to it. And she had like an acoustic guitar. She had an organ. They also had a piano in the house, and I would just mess around, you know, as a kid, but I was always like into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually when I was like 10 or so, my mom was like, do you want to take lessons? And so I did, I took a couple lessons, maybe like, I don't know, for a year, it was probably just months, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of like went from there, right? Nice. Like once I got kind of like the basics under my belt, I sort of just like ran with it and, you know, just been playing ever since really.
But that's awesome. So Phenomenon, that's we were talking beforehand. There's a reason why it's called Phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's has to do with a lot of things that happen here in the Hudson Valley. Something you and I are very keyed in on. Maybe not everybody out there, but it's a really cool part of the Hudson Valley. Would you like to get into that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So Phenomenon, the name, we wanted to come up with a name that was, you know, kind of like something that had to do with where we're from. And it's not super obvious, right? Phenomenon is a little bit of like a generic word, but the Hudson Valley.
It works. It's good general thing.
Yeah.
But I like the story though.
Yeah. So the, you know, the Hudson Valley where we're all from, it's known for paranormal experiences, right? Especially UFOs. So there was like a huge UFO flap in the 80s with a lot of sightings. And then there's just like a lot of haunted places and a lot of haunted stories that go along with this whole Hudson Valley area, right? So we wanted to reference that. And we also got our first gig at the Paranormal Museum UFO Fair in Pine Bush.
that was our first gig, number one.
Yeah, when I didn't even really have a band yet, and we kind of like just put it together. We had a few originals through friends of friends. I kind of got offered the gig, and I was like, "Yeah, I got a band." It like really wasn't coalesced, and we needed a name. And I was like, "This sort of fits the fair phenomenon, and it kind of works for the Hudson Valley." And it's just kind of a cool name. So we went with it and we just stuck with it. So the UFO Fair in 2021 was our official like first gig ever.
Wow. Yeah.
Which was an awesome first gig. It was great.
That's pretty sick right there.
Yeah, it was cool.
So talk to me about the fair then. Like
what kind have of you stuff ever been?
They have. No, I've oh, never been God. For the fair. No.
You gotta go.
I've seen the museum, but I've never gone for the fair.
The museum's great. It's right next to Longstreet Tavern, which I play at all the time. Great people over there. But the fair is awesome. And I know Lance, the guy who runs the Paranormal Museum, and just kind of like casual relationship with Lance through friends of friends, and he offered us the gig, so we took it. And the fair is massive. They shut down that whole street and multiple side streets, and it's just like a regular fair, but everything's oriented with UFOs. And then they do like a costume contest for like the coolest like UFO makeup and then they have speakers. Like there's people from like what's it called on History Channel? Ancient Aliens and stuff like that. It's like, it's big.
Holy cow.
So if you're like into the topic, and like I am such like a nerd with this stuff, I love it.
Yeah.
So there's like well-known people that come and speak. Like I saw Travis Walton speak and I actually met him.
Travis Walton.
And he's a famous abductee that a movie was based off of, which like traumatized me as a kid, called Fire in the Sky.
There we go. Yeah. Okay.
And I feel like every guy like around our age was traumatized by that movie. So I saw that like in the theater and I was 10.
You were
10?
And
I had like no business seeing that at 10 years old. You know, I think it was like 93 it came out. And I remember like no sleep for like weeks from that movie. Yeah.
I got a funny story about that actually. So that movie did nothing to me, believe it or not. That movie did nothing to me.
Really? Wow.
So, but I will tell you this. So there were two movies that I saw around the same time for the first time. This was either like first or second grade for me. So, so still pretty young.
Yeah.
The two movies were Tom Cruise's War of the Worlds.
Okay, yeah.
And then Tim Burton's Mars Attacks.
Okay, I never saw it.
Two very different films.
Yeah, yeah.
War of the Worlds takes it very seriously.
Yeah.
It's an intense film. Mars Attacks is hilarious.
Comedy, right?
Yeah. It's a comedy. It's a spoof on the invasion genre.
Mm-hmm.
Guess which one gave me nightmares for months?
The comedy got you.
The comedy got me. Yeah. Tom Cruise, that movie did nothing to me.
Really?
I watched it. I was fine. It was great. Fire in the Sky, I didn't see until I was older. I was in my teens by the time I saw that. But it was Mars Attacks.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was Mars Attacks that screwed
me up. That's
so
interesting. Yeah.
For months.
Wonder why.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but like
some of the subtleties of it like creeped in later. Like to me, that's what it is. Like in the movie, I'm like, you know, I'm like, this is creepy or whatever, but it's like once you're laying in bed at night and then it's like the wheels start turning, you know?
It's like, wait, that could be possible.
Yeah.
Oh, that might all the possibilities running through your head.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, actually, funny enough, the way that they killed the aliens in Mars Attacks was through music.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. It was something in the radio frequencies.
Oh, okay.
It would blow up their heads.
Wow.
So I guess that kind of stuck with me to a degree.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was interesting.
There's a lot of scary ones, though.
That one was not. Trust me, it is not a scary one.
Yeah.
But why that one affected me as a kid, I don't know. But that's awesome to hear about the festival, and that's awesome to hear about everything. So that's mainly UFO-based.
Yeah.
But besides that, you also have a huge love for the paranormal and the spiritual as well.
Yeah.
Heck, you were just featured, slash about to be featured on a paranormal show. Do you want to get into that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I, I am super interested in like all things paranormal. To me, it's just like one of the mysteries that's kind of feels like it's left out there where there's no firm answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So to me, it's super interesting. So I love reading about it, but I also grew up with some experiences of my own. Mm-hmm. So I had experiences as like a little kid you know, kind of puts me in that category of like, I kind of get it when people are like, I don't believe whatever, like, I don't believe the whole like alien thing, or I don't believe in ghosts or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, I kind of get it. It's like, some of it's hard to believe and most people don't have any experience with it. So it's like, why would you believe it? Right.
Yeah.
But I did as a little kid, and the experiences I had were like really definitive, and they weren't like, maybe I kind of saw something, like it was very clear. And,
do you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah,
any of
totally.
It?
I can give you the like kind of a quick rundown of it. But I had like a few experiences as a little kid, and nothing really in adulthood. They kind of stopped there. But it all kind of based around the death of my grandfather. That's when it kind of started for me. And then I had a few experiences at the home that I grew up in, and then a couple like outside of the home too. But again, like it kind of stopped after a certain age, you know, which is make of that what you will. But I know that's kind of like a common thread with a lot of people that have experiences.
Yeah.
But the first experience I had, I was 5 when my grandpa died, and that was like the first time I dealt with like death.
Yeah.
And I was close with him. We all were. And so we were all like super upset, obviously, right? And like I was like inconsolable at the time. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, said to my sister, like, why don't you take him like downstairs and like read him a book? And I remember her like saying this to her. And we went down there in like a finished basement we used to hang out in. And we're just sitting on the couch, and I remember her like reading a book, and we were kind of like sitting like this, but yeah. I think it was like the opposite way, where she was on my right. And I remember like just sitting there and sort of like listening to her. And then I actually like heard a whisper in this ear, like really close. And it was a voice that wasn't, didn't have like a tone, because it was like a whisper. And it said, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay." And, like a soft, like a gentle kind of whisper. And I just remember like hearing that, but being like, what?
Yeah.
You know, like where was that, where did that come from? And I asked her if she heard it, and like she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, and like all this. And then
yeah,
you know, it just kind of was like, all right, well, I don't know, I'm 5 and this is weird. And it just sort of like went by as an experience. So that was like the first initial experience that I had. And again, like downstairs was just me and her, like, there's nobody else down there. And then later on, and it's like fuzzy how much later on this was, cause it's so long ago. But at one point my mom was like remodeling the 3rd floor. That's where my grandpa, he lived with us. Right. So he was on the 3rd floor.
Okay.
And she was, like painting and like cleaning up and whatever. And I was up there with her just kind of like messing around. And she was actually, I remember she was like laying on the ground, sponge painting on the bathtub.
Okay.
Right. And I remember the radio was on, and like I found a big box, and I wanted to take it and make like a fort out of it. Nice. Right. So I had this huge box, right? And I could like barely see over it. And I'm like, I go up, I was like, can I take this downstairs? And she's sort of like busy, and she's like, yeah, you know, whatever, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going, but like the catch here is that like we're on the 3rd floor. And to get downstairs with this box, I got to go down the staircase, which is like, it's an older house, and the staircase was so crazy steep.
Oof,
yeah, okay. It was like really steep staircase. And I'm little, like 5 years old, and I'm carrying this huge box, and I can like barely see over the top. So I make it down the hall with this box and get to the staircase. And I remember like, you ever, I always think of like, Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, when he like sticks his foot out to take that like that walk of like faith.
The walk of faith, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like kind of like standing there with like 1 foot about to take my first step. And I was thinking in my head, like, this is sketchy, you know, like this, I can't really see anything.
Yeah.
And then I heard a voice like scream at me. And it was like a high pitched voice. Like I equated it to a cartoon, because that was like the only thing I could come up with as like a 5-year-old, as like a point of reference.
Yeah.
It was like this high pitched, like squeaky voice. And it said, stay back. Right. Like loud.
Wow.
And it was scary. Like the voice was like not normal to me. It's hard for me to like put it into words, but it sounded like a cartoony, like high pitched voice.
Mm.
And it scared me a lot. And I just like froze. And then I remember like I just dropped the box there on the landing, and then just like kind of ran back to my mom.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, you know, like, did you call me? Like, what's going on? She had like no idea what I was talking about. So that was like terrifying, but I think it was like for my benefit.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, it was scary, but probably for the best, because who knows what would have happened if I had like gone down the stairs with that thing. I probably would have fallen and who knows,
exactly,
broke my neck or something. So I kind of feel like that was, you know, scary, but like for a good purpose.
Yeah.
So those were
trying
like,
to get your attention there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So those were like the things that were like really profound that happened. And again, they were like very clear. They weren't like, I maybe heard something, or like, it was like as clear as we're talking to each other, you know?
Wow.
But just in a creepy kind of tone. And then there was just some other weird stuff, like at my uncle's house, found out years later, his apartment was haunted. I didn't know as a kid. And I remember being there for like Easter or something like that, or it might've been Christmas. And, I was looking for my cousin, and they had this room that was like a playroom. There was like Nintendo in there and like toys and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around the house and I peek in that room to look for him, and it was dark, but I'm still like looking. For some reason, I remember just like getting kind of like focused looking in there. The room is totally dark, but there was a window on the back wall, and there was like this is in Brooklyn, and there's like a street light. So there was like a glint of light coming in through that window, even though the blinds were down. So there was like a little bit of light reflecting on a chair that had like chrome legs on it. And it was four legs. Yeah. It wasn't like a rocking chair. And I remember the chairs go back on two legs and then come back.
Oh God.
And I remember it like clear because like there was like a glint off of the leg.
Oh wow.
You know, because that's really what like caught my eye. It was like I noticed there was like this glint was like changing. And then as I like kind of saw clear, I saw the legs were like clearly coming back. Like somebody was like just rocking back.
Mm.
And it just came back.
That's definitive. Like, that's something right there. Yeah. Like, how do you explain that?
And like, exactly. And I was still young, but this was probably years later, but I was still like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling my mom, I was like, I saw something strange. And I remember her playing it down. Everybody was playing it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, I found out it was because my uncle used to see like an apparition of a man sometimes in that apartment.
Oh my God, really?
And eventually he stopped kind of like showing up. My uncle like apparently was like tried to do things to try to get the spirit to like move on, like talk to him, like, hey, I see you here, it's okay, you can leave. And but anyway, they kind of like played it down so I wouldn't like be afraid.
Yeah.
And then I found out much later in life, they were like, oh yeah, I was haunted.
So you're like, I was right.
Yeah. I knew it all along. So yeah, those were like the main things. There was other like weird stuff, some weird stuff with my sister that happened in our house. But those were like some of the more profound things. And then, you know, speaking of like things kind of run in families, like music, right? Like my uncle was musical and my mom was to a degree, but honestly, her talent was more in design.
Oh, okay.
She was like an interior designer and a great artist, like drawing and stuff like that. So she had like a creativity for sure. But I think her strength was really more in that area. My uncle was really good musician, but my great, and this is all my mom's side where a lot of that kind of musical side is.
Mm-hmm.
But my great grandmother, again, on my mom's side, she came here from Poland on like a boat, right? And this is, you know, how far back it goes. And then, but she had a lot of like experiences to the point where you would consider her like a medium of
something. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she wasn't like telling fortunes or like anything like that, but she had a lifelong experience. Like she was having experience with people or entities from the other side her whole life, up until the point she was in like a nursing home. Even in the nursing home, seeing spirits like coming to her like in her sleep, and she would tell my grandma things. So it was like a whole history of stories that she had.
Wow. Know, which was sounds really very sensitive. And so it sounds that kind of sensitivity has been in your family and that kind of interest.
Who knows?
There.
Yeah. But again, like I don't have any other experiences, you know, like this is all in childhood. I've since been like super interested from like an intellectual side, but there's no, you know, I don't have like any, like sense for that anymore. Like she did, which lasted her whole life, you know?
Well, they say as you get older, you know, any kind of connection that you might have can dwindle, even if you're still open to it, but it's partly the baggage that you get through life. Yeah. Even if you believe there's still weights.
The child is so open to things and you haven't built any walls around anything and you don't even know like what to be afraid of. And so you're just open. Right. And I think we kind of close things off after a while,
even when
some of my experiences were kind of like spooky anyway. So I like, probably subconsciously tried to like maybe shut it down. I don't know.
Yeah.
But a lot of people experience that they get older and it's just like, doesn't happen anymore.
No. Well, it's interesting you say that. I've had my share of, you know, paranormal activity and experiences. God, I'll keep it short because this is your, this is your interview. But, well, since we were talking about UFOs to start off with, probably my biggest UFO story. So literally upstairs, we were back home after a school function. Mom's in her bedroom. Dad and I are out in the living room. Tell you exactly what we were watching. We were watching Wipeout on ABC.
Nice.
And we're no strangers to having airplanes like come over. And you hear it and it's like, okay. So it's late one night. We're watching Wipeout. Sounds like a plane's coming by and whatnot. But it's getting louder and louder. And really loud. Wow. And it's shaking the house.
Wow.
And it's like, every once in a while, something will shake the house, sure. But like, this was like a lot. And then all of a sudden, and now my dad's not much, he's a bit of a skeptic in this case when it comes to these things.
Yeah.
A huge, unfortunately, the curtains were closed, but a huge flash of light goes right by the window. And like, it's enough to like light up the room. And dad and I were like, what the hell? Race to the window. Couldn't see anything. Rumbling's gone. Everything's back to normal. So can't explain that. But at least dad and I, we saw the flash. Mom's in her room, but she could tell you that she heard and felt everything. So there's that.
Was it a white flash or like a color, like a blue?
It was more of a white.
Okay.
It was more of a white, I would say. We also have blue curtains. So like, but I would still say white for the most part. Then when it comes to like, supernatural, there was like this one figure I saw a lot when I was younger, faceless, but had a lot of characteristics that I'm familiar with my family.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it was a family member just kind of watching over.
Was it kind of like a shadow?
No, it wasn't a shadow. Oh, it was like clear as day. Like I'm looking at
person,
you, but no face.
Wow.
I didn't see a face.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, a lot of other like skin tone, height, hair, you know, stuff that is like I would relate with my family. There was that. But then also the old psychiatric center that used to be all the down there where ShopRite is now. You know, I'm right here. My friends and I, we would sneak down there all the time.
Oh, man.
And we would bring, we had thermal cameras. We had regular cameras. We had microphones. We caught some strange stuff. Like we would get the cold spots. We would get, we would do like the knock once, knock twice thing. That or somebody's messing with us, but know, but one of the craziest things that we got was like a clear as day apparition of a nurse.
Really?
Yeah, in one of the windows.
And like a picture, like video?
I don't currently have it anymore. My buddy has it, but
yeah, I'd love to check it out.
No, but it is like she's translucent, but like it's
clear
something.
Yeah.
Like you know, it's like, oh my God. So, yeah, no, that stuff's always been interesting to me. My mom's always been interested in that stuff. She watches all the shows. How we got into this conversation to begin with, Haunted Discovery, Family Spirits.
Yes.
And you got invited to be on the show.
Yep.
You knew some people. Your episode, we believe, is airing on May 10th, right?
Right. May 10th. It's on Haunt TV. And you can find it also on, if you have Roku, I think like, I think Haunt TV is available through that and Sling TV. It's like on demand. Samsung TV also has that Haunt TV. So it's Haunted Discoveries, Family Spirits, and episode 5.
Nice.
So yeah, if anybody wants to check it out.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Obviously don't want to give away too many of the thrills and interests, but where are you for this episode? Like where'd you go?
So I went down where they were filming was in where they're located in Kentucky.
Okay.
So this was in Louisville and they do a lot of investigations in that immediate area, like old historic buildings and things like that. So they filmed on a location that they have that they use for their shows, which is like an old farm. It's like an old farmhouse, which was really cool. And I got to meet some of the other folks that were on the show. But yeah, it was great. I got to meet you know, all the guys from that show, and they were all super accommodating, and it was just a blast. You know, it was great. Yeah, it was really cool.
Well, hey, I'm excited to check out the episode. I want to see what it's all like and what you guys found.
Yeah.
So we got big into the UFO and into the spiritual side of things, and I'm sure we probably might meander right back there at some point. But let's get back to the music, though, with Phenomenon. Does your interest of the paranormal and the supernatural bleed into the music as well?
A lot of the music that I've written for Phenomenon has really been mostly off of like personal experience, and it isn't really based off of like anything paranormal per se.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the music honestly is written around like a mood or like a kind of like a feel or like a vibe that you'll go through certain life. So some of the songs are more specific and they're a little bit more like storytelling in the lyrics.
Nice.
But a lot of them aren't quite so literal, right? And it's more just like dealing with like either sort of frustration and like a rebellious feeling over feeling sort of like oppressed or like being forced into a situation, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, I think everyone deals with like feeling like that at some point in their life. So like Something's Gotta Give is one of our songs, and that's kind of written around frustrations with, and I'm not like the songs aren't really political per se, but it was a lot of these were written around the like post-COVID time.
Mm.
So there's a lot of feelings of like resentment or
a lot
like,
of things happen in that.
Yeah, a lot of like, you know, just feeling like, you know, I don't love to be told what to do all the time. Right. And so like with that whole situation, it was like a lot of being controlled and told what to do. So the song doesn't address like anything in specifics per se, but it's just like mm-hmm. a feeling of like being pissed off about being like feeling controlled.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, you know, like, being put into a box during a time,
yeah.
like everything was being constricted, whether you like felt like this is for the best or not.
Yeah.
Nobody likes
yeah, yeah.
being shut in like right. that. Even like the most introverted people eventually are like, damn, this kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so absolutely. I hear you on that. So that's probably a really good segue then. We can start playing some of the music,
cool.
of course,
yeah.
with Something's Gotta Give. You gave plenty of background. Is there anything else yeah. you want to say to it, or should we cut to the music?
No, that about covers it, man. And like I said, I'm not like overly like trying to get a point across. It's more about just like conveying an emotion, so to speak. And, you know, yeah. that's what it's about.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, right now, here's Phenomenon with Something's Gotta Give. So with all the music that we've been listening to, of course, I'm assuming some, if not all, will be played at this awesome festival that you guys are a part of, Hudson Fest 2025, which is going to be in late May, Saturday, May 24th. You want to talk about that? A lot of great familiar names on the
definitely
on the lineup, including you guys.
Yeah, we're happy to be a part of it. It's an awesome, like, all-day event, music at Rushing Duck. They're hosting it, which is a great brewery in Chester, New York. It's a really cool place. So music all day. We're going to play, I think, at like 5 or 5:30. And our friends from the band Liberside invited us. So thanks to them and Haroon from that band. They're an awesome band, Liberside. You should check them out if you don't know
We've been trying to get them on. I've talked to them a couple times. No, great guys, great music.
They're awesome. And yeah, the music is really good. And it's sort of similar in the sense that they are also like a rock band. And some of it kind of does have like grunge vibes and kind of like classic type of rock sound with their own spin. But anyway, we're going to be at that, which is going to be a lot of fun. And then we're also playing at Hopewell Inn that night. So we got a lot of
double duty.
Yeah, double duty. But we at the actual festival is only like 30 minutes that we're going to play.
Okay.
And so we'll be there most of the day. And then we're going to Hopewell Inn to play 3 hours that night.
Oh, wow.
And then 30 Sunday.
30 minutes to 3 hours. Okay. Yeah. And Sunday.
We're playing again at La Familia in Carmel. We'll be on the back patio that Sunday.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Busy week. Busy weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that sounds awesome. 30 minutes. Yeah. Well, I was going to say.
So many bands. It's I was just looking real quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Because just looking at the poster. Yeah, no, I would imagine. I was wondering if it was a couple days, so it's just the one day.
I think it's just one. Yeah. Yeah, and there's so many bands. And we're playing right before Liberside. There might be they might play a little bit of a longer set. I think there's like they play and then maybe two more bands and it's done.
Okay.
After the day, yeah. Starts at like 11 or something.
Really early. That's what I saw. It starts relatively early, but like good for you guys. That's so cool.
Yeah, I love playing those.
And that's
types
Memorial
of
Day weekend, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. So great
Kicks
way to kick off
the
weekend.
Summer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So we're excited. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And one thing that I'm realizing that I've forgotten to mention, besides the festival, something that you guys did a year ago, about a year ago now, was the Our Band Show. That's something I meant to bring up earlier, but I don't think we talked about that yet. Our band show, of course, we had John Newhall talking about that a couple of weeks ago. So I think this is about time that I reach out to our band show, see if they want to say
hi. Have them on.
But tell us about that experience, because it's a really cool thing that they're doing over there.
Yeah, it's a really cool show. And shout out to Christian and the guys there at Our Band Show. It's really well done. They have you out for the day and you record basically like a set of like 8 to 10 songs.
That's significant. That's a good amount, right?
It's a good amount. It's just live. So you record your session with them live and, you know, there's just one take, you just do it and that's what it is. Right. So it's live music and that's always like a fun element too, cause you never know what's going to happen for sure. But it's great. You have a session where you talk for a bit about your music and about who you are, and then you play some songs and talk about the songs, et cetera. But they do a really great job. They have like maybe 6 to 10 people working there, all the cameras and audio, and they really hook it up. And they package together like a really nice show. And it's awesome because it's all local original acts. So it's a great promotion for like the local music scene, which I think is just a great thing they're doing.
Yeah, I support that 100%. Like that's
right,
it's so cool to be able to see things like that, and also to that degree and caliber. I think it's impressive what they're doing over there.
They're really good at it, and they're just getting better and better. I think with every episode, they're like really honing their craft. And you know, I got introduced to some bands I never knew about through the show, and it's just been a really cool experience.
That's awesome. So between working with our band show, talking about Hudson Fest alongside Liberside and so many others, and all the other shows that you guys do, talking about that community here in music and the level of collaboration, where do you see that in the level of importance when it comes to you as a individual and you as an artist?
I mean, I love playing here in the Hudson Valley because there's so many venues and so many artists here. It's kind of, it's like own little like cottage industry, you know, which is really cool. And it seems to be growing. So we try to team up with other bands a lot. You know, it's a lot more fun when we can do these like festivals and multi-band shows.
Yeah.
So we do make an effort to try to meet other bands and collaborate. You know, I'm always open to do that sort of thing. So we've done that with like other local acts. And, you know, we try to get like three bands on the bill, things like that, these other festivals. And there's a lot of places also that are really friendly to bands like us. And they keep booking us back, like the Garage in Marlboro. I don't know if you've been there, but it's a great place. Shout out to them. They book us a bunch, and they always have a great crowd, and it's like a great scene. So that, you know, having places that want bands, and there's more and more of them, it seems like every year. So it really helps like fill it out, and we love doing it. So we're trying to build a little bit of, you know, build our base and try to get some more exposure out there. And once we have our album out, I feel like we can promote it more, right, officially as an original band, because we are original, but like at the moment we just have an EP with four songs. So once we have a full album, at least we can show people like, hey, this is what we're all about.
It's great when you have something tangible to show everybody. So I 100% get that. So speaking about promoting yourself, where can people find you guys online?
We have like everybody else, you have Facebook and Instagram, right? Instagram, it's phenomenon_rock'n'roll. And on Facebook, it's Phenomenon Band. And we promote all our shows on there. There's a bunch of like little music videos and clips of our shows. And then we post everything. I think we have like six or seven on the calendar right now. So we're going to be out there, you know, doing everything we can to try to play local music and keep promoting local bands. And we're doing a really awesome show at the Garage, sponsored by Maroney's Harley Davidson.
Oh, really?
A lot of people are going to be there for like this Maroney's event. I think it's June 7th.
Okay.
We'll be playing outside. Hopefully it's good weather.
I know. You always got to hope for that.
Yeah. So that'll be a cool show. So if anybody wants to come out, that should be an awesome gig over there. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mike, before we totally wrap up, do you have any last little nugget for any of the Walsh Wednesday listening audience, whatever that might be? Any last little nugget?
No, you know, I just think that what you're doing is awesome here. I love being a part of the music scene. Yeah, and I love collaborating. So feel free to reach out. You know, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and you can reach out to me there. And I love hearing about, like, your paranormal stories. So if you want to let me know.
I'd be happy to keep, like, going into stuff personally. Yeah. Like, I know I got more, but, like, those are the highlights.
I want to know. So tell me, even at gigs, I always tell people, I'm like, listen, if you have stories, I want it. You know, give me the truth. You know, I can handle it. But, you know, definitely come out. Our gigs are all, like, fun rock, you know, covers, because we'd play a ton of covers, and it's all, like, danceable stuff, and then we play some harder stuff too. Mm-hmm. So we kind of hit like a wide net.
Nice.
And then we're going to play our original music, and it's always a fun time. So please come out, check us out. Yeah.
Sounds good. And of course, we'll have all the links and information in the description of this episode. So we'll have all that for both Mike, his band, everything that you could be asking for. We got it for you. So you sent me three songs that Phenomenon's working on, and the third song is Hollow. And I thought this one was very unique as well. And I'm just curious where the story was with this. Obviously you said moods, but like, where'd you get this one from?
It was really, like, again, a lot of the stuff I'm just kind of like conveying a feel or like a vibe or a mood.
Oh, and Hollow is very much a very particular kind of vibe.
And it's just more about feeling like, frustrated or feeling let down with like, even with people who we put our like faith in. And again, I don't mean that in like a religious way, but like feeling like sometimes certain people that you hope are going to be, you know, play a role in your life or be that you put faith into, and then it just doesn't work out, and like a frustration of that. Or even yourself, to be honest with you, like sick of your own bullshit. Like, you know, sometimes we kind of like lie to ourselves a lot. And that's Hollow, right? So it's like this kind of loss of, you know, faith in that. And again, it's just more like a mood of being like a lot of the stuff that we deal with is like bullshit. And sometimes it's even our own bullshit that we have to deal with. So it's just kind of like confronting that. And that's more or less, you know, what the song is about.
No, and I think that's great because, there's a lot of people. And this is something that I've talked with a number of like mental health experts in particular, and don't mean to go too far down this rabbit hole, but one thing that we've talked about with the rise of social media in particular, not saying it's the end all be all and the main reason, but it's definitely exacerbated this. A lot of people will look for the label and then not do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh yeah, I have this, I've got this, or this in my past, or this or whatever.
this justifies why I am the way I am instead of confronting it and actually doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big thing. So when you take art, like a song like yours, to be able to hopefully inspire and motivate people and hopefully yourself as well, you know, I think that's when art really is the most beneficial.
Yeah, that I totally agree. And it's cathartic, some of these things too. Like, these are the first three songs we've recorded, and on our album, it's our first album. We have an EP out, but this is the first full-length album, right? And some of the songs are more personal than others. Like, some of these songs are more just about like a general feeling or an expressing of like a mood and confronting like a feeling that we have, but some of them are more direct and like obvious, and it can be like more like relationship based and things like that. But like you said, you know, kind of like doing work of like confronting any type of issue that you might be having in your life, like something like writing music and performing it is cathartic. You kind of feel like you're almost like expelling it, right? And you know, you can kind of like get things out that way in a productive way.
Yeah. And then also in the sense of performing it, the communal aspect of being able to share that experience with people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. That's something I'll never be able to get over as a performer.
It's the best. Yeah. You know, it definitely is. And it never gets old. It's always like exciting every time you go out and play. You know,
I 100% believe that. I think with that, great segue into the song. Of course, here is Hollow by Phenomenon.
Men
I'm Connor.
I'm Mike.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Bowman Wash Car Wash, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.